Probably getting close to done with Genesis 1, just detailed. And then, Jan, weren't we talking about something else that's going to go? I forgot what it is now. Finances. Oh, okay. Finances. Okay. You're going to make me study. I used to teach a finance class in Colorado at high school, but I threw all those notes away. So, okay, Genesis 1, and then I'll turn and read Job 38. There's a question that God gave to Job. Okay, and it's 38:18. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words and help us to, if we can overcome ideas that we've been taught, or maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong, but that we could try to understand your words, not for our benefit, not for our, quote, spirituality, but just to believe what you've written. And that's all we want to know, is just to believe and understand what you've written. If that's a possibility, if you'd allow that to happen, be appreciative. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Job 38:18. This is a question that God threw at Job. Many of these are scientific questions. And he says in verse 18, "Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all." Okay? And that's a question for all of us. Okay? Has any of us perceived the breadth of the earth? And the answer is definitely not. None of us have gotten in a spaceship, flew far enough away, taken a picture, and I don't think anybody has. Okay? That's the idea. So we're just trying to understand, and I believe that when you come across things in the Bible, if you have a couple options, okay, look at both options, and then look at the Bible at both options, pros, cons, and try to see which one would seem to fit the Bible the best. Okay, so a real brief skim as we come through Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven, singular, and the earth, and that at that same time, as other scriptures revealed, he also created cherubims, angels at that time, and water. Okay, so it looks like that's all created. In Genesis 1:2, we have possibly a 2,000-year gap in there, like a first and second coming. Where Lucifer is in charge of the earth, and he messed it up. Envy against God. God destroyed the earth by a flood. So now darkness is created in there. And then on day one, if you want to call it a recreation, fine. But day one, in verse 3, now we're going to deal with individual 24-hour days. So on day one, light was created, and we remember that light moves, darkness is stationary. So that's day one. Day two was he put a firmament, something firm, to divide the waters. So you have water above the firmament, water in the firmament. Okay, so is this a canopy around a globe or spherical earth, or is this a dome over a circular earth? Okay, those are the choices. Something firm. Okay, then day three, I went through last week about plants and plants and the things about plants and how the earth, okay, where the earth either came up through the water or the earth, God added earth to, I don't know. Now day four, okay, day four. Now, if it says 1,000 years are as a day as 1,000 years in 2 Peter, day four, we have a light, meaning the sunlight shows up, and Jesus is often portrayed as the sun, S-U-N, okay, but then also the counterparts, the Satanists will worship the sun, but that's on a fourth day, and so if you go from Adam until Christ, that's the fourth day, 4,000 years. And what shows up after that is life from water. in day five. So day four, we'll read down through it. It says, and God said, let there be lights, plural, in the firmament. So inside that canopy or dome, not 93 million miles away. It doesn't look like to me. Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. So the sun is instrumental in the seasons, the four seasons, and how that sun moves. Now both sides, heliocentric and geocentric, believe the sun does move. Both sides say that. So they're in agreement on that. The movement is different. It says, verse 3, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. So it's like a planetarium. Okay, planetarium, as far as that goes. And God made two great lights. And notice, they are lights. They have their own illumination. These lights have their own illumination. Most of us are taught that the sun simply reflects light of the moon, or the moon reflects light of the sun. But this says they are both lights. They have their own illumination. God made two great lights, a greater light to rule the day, sunlight. The lesser light, it is a light, to rule the night. He made the stars also, and they are lights. All of these lights are placed in the firmament of verse 14. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and evening and morning were the fourth day. Okay, so how do we understand that? Okay, so there are the two theories. Heliocentric is an idea that the earth revolves around the sun. Okay, that theory came about around 1500 AD by a guy named Copernicus. Okay, a geocentric says that the sun goes around the earth or over the earth. That idea has been believed from Adam until 1500, where now you had two theories jockeying for position. Okay, now since then, the pushers of the heliocentric were the Jesuits and the Freemasons. Okay, and so today, until about 4 years ago, where it became a very powerful idea that's been exploding on the internet. It's been about 4 years. So, and it brings up questions for both sides. Okay, so both sides say the sun is moving. Okay, the heliocentric side says the earth is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour at the equator, as it's traveling 66,000 miles an hour around the sun, as the sun is traveling 483,000 miles an hour through the galaxy, as our galaxy travels 1.2 million miles an hour. Well, I'm getting dizzy thinking about it. Okay, that's the idea. So they say the sun is moving. They just say that the earth and the planets are keeping up with it as it's going through the galaxy. Okay, the geocentric model idea, and I was introduced to the geocentric idea of many years ago, and I just thought, I don't care, and I didn't, and it made no sense to me. But with the circular stationary earth, it does seem to make sense to me. So the geocentric idea, if the geocentric people have two theories. One is a spherical earth where the sun is going around the spherical earth. And the other is a circular plane stationary earth where the sun is going in a circular motion over the earth. Okay, and that was like that one, like, was it a magnet, electromagnetic thing where the thing hovers over and goes around. And the idea is, their theory is that the sun, closer to the earth, same size as the moon, both are illuminating lights, that the sun goes around the Tropic of Cancer, And that's when we have summertime. And then it gradually goes out farther over to the equator, where it circles over the equator, and then it gradually circles out over the Tropic of Capricorn. That's on the globe or whatever. And that's when they have summer out in Australia or South America. That's the idea. Okay, so that's the two schools of thought. And I believe that in school, instead of only teaching the theory of evolution, the public schools, if they really want education to prevail, they should teach everything. Throw it all out there. Let the student decide. Okay, so in Genesis 1, that's the idea as far as this goes. And what I see here, that these lights are within the firmament. Now, I did have a couple videos, and I do have a map. I couldn't find the map. I was looking all over the place. Couldn't find that map. Could kind of show you. I'm more of a visual learner, but I could show videos to show kind of how it works. But even at that, okay. Now, if we start at a point of agreement, both sides say the sun's moving. Okay, both sides say that. Heliocentric and geocentric. Now, the motion of both sides is, the heliocentric says that the sun is traveling upwards in a galaxy 483 miles an hour. The geocentric side says that the sun is circling over the earth, like sort of kind of like what you would think would be a satellite. Okay, let's try a few passages. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Okay, Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Okay, so we are in the same idea. That would be day two, where the firmament divided heaven. Now you have plural heavens. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Okay, end of the world, where's that? In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. In what? Verse 1, the firmament. So what is the sun? The sun is, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoices a strong man to run a race. His going forth is the sun. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit. Circuit, circular. Okay, his circuit unto the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. So you have three types of sun rays: light rays, heat rays, and ecdytic rays. That comes from, so it kind of makes a trinity. Okay, I have another one. Isaiah 13, verse 9. Okay, Isaiah 13, verse 9. Okay, this one shows, and there's probably 10 in all, that shows not only does the sun have light, but the moon has light. Isaiah 13, 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, so we know that's second coming, cruel, both with wrath and fierce angle, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. Okay, that is at the second coming. That will be the sixth seal judgment. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth. The sun is moving, is going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. So that is another place, several other places too. Now, if you would, Joshua chapter 10. Okay, Joshua's having a battle. Joshua is a type of Christ. What are you yawning for back there? Oh, he got up at 2:30, got home at 2:30.
up.
Joshua chapter 10. Okay, Joshua is a type of Christ. This is a picture, in doctrinal picture of the second coming, in a way. Especially when God throws the hailstones down. In Joshua chapter 10, verse 12, Joshua's got a big battle on, and it's getting toward the end of the day, and he says, I need some light, Lord. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is it not? Is this not written in a book of Jasher? Okay, so that's a historical book that God chose not to put in the Bible. It's not a book we are to find and say, oh, this is hidden truth. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. So not a whole day, but about a whole day. So, if we look at our two theories that's been given to us, if the sun is traveling 483,000 miles through the galaxy and the earth is spinning and keeping up with it, in order to be fulfilled. Now, the people that believe these issues, obviously we know they're not, these seculars are not going to accept the miracles of the Bible. Okay, so our choice is Joshua or the Bible recording something figurative where in actuality the earth stopped traveling and spinning, okay, and which made it appear that the sun stopped, or did the sun stop, okay, as it's gone through space, and then all the planets had to stop, and everything had... Now, God can do that. He's got the power. Or, if the sun was going over, he just said, okay, I'm the watchmaker. I'm going to pull the knob out, and I'm not going to let the watch keep ticking. And the sun stopped. Okay, so, if... It is figurative. What was our conclusion? What would we think? Okay, if it's figurative that the earth did, okay, just we're just going to think of the spinning idea. If it just stops spinning, if it's going 1,000 miles at the equator, in Israel, maybe 600 miles an hour, and he immediately stopped it, where would all those people have gone? You ever ride a hay wagon going 3 miles an hour, baling hay? I mean, you're on the hay. I mean, those people would have been flown to oblivion. Plus, he would have had to stop the 66,000 as it's traveling for that almost a whole day. Or, if the circular geocentric model is correct, then all he had to do is stop the sun. Now, God can do as he chooses. Okay, so those are the two possibilities. Okay, now let's try the other story. There's another one that kind of... Well, I got Habakkuk 3:11. I got that, and I've got it boldened, so that's a reason I got to look at it. I think it's second coming. Habakkuk is definitely second coming. Okay, yeah. This thing with Joshua is in a doctrinal typology of the second coming, and Habakkuk verifies that thought. Plus Revelation 6, the sixth seal judgment. Habakkuk 3, verse 11. Now, in this chapter, this entire chapter of Habakkuk, we'll find the word Selah three times. So when we find the word Selah in the Bible, we know that that's a pretty strong hint that we're dealing with Selah Petra and or second coming. And if we read the entire chapter, we will definitely see he's dealing with the second coming. An obvious clue would be chapter 3, verse 3. After Selah, his glory covered the heavens. So now we know right where we're at. You got his brightness in verse 4. Okay, and in verse 12, you have his indignation. He threshes the heathen. In verse 11, the sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. Now that is future, that's second coming. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Okay, so now with Joshua, it says, if we're going to take the words as they are, it says about an whole day. Not a whole day, about a whole day. What about that rest? Did God complete that 24-hour stoppage? Okay, yes, he did. We'll find that in 2 Kings 20, verse 10. That's with Hezekiah. Remember Hezekiah got bad sick. God said, you're going to die. Isaiah said, you're going to die. And Hezekiah got crying and begging God, oh, give me more time, give me more time. He said, okay, I'm going to give you 15 years. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing to know, the exact time limit. I mean, he's checking down on his calendar, 14, 13. And his wife is saying, you got that insurance policy paid up, you know, and all that stuff. Okay, so when God said, okay, I'm going to give you 15 more years, Hezekiah said, prove it. And the Lord said, okay. The Lord says, I got to finish a whole day somewhere, sometime. What would you like me to do? So chapter 20, verse 10. Okay, actually verse 9. Isaiah, that's Isaiah of the Bible. He was a prophet with Hezekiah. Okay, so 2 Kings 20, verse 9. And this is also repeated in Isaiah 38. So this story is repeated twice. So Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, and the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backward 10 degrees? Now, from our perspective, isn't that like God saying, okay, what would you like me to do? I mean, wouldn't that kind of be hard, God? To make the sundial go backward? No. All I could do is pull the knob on the watch and roll it back. And then Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. What do you mean it's a light thing? The sun's not going to speed up. But, okay, just make it go backwards 10 degrees. Okay, so 10 degrees of a 360-degree circle. That would be about 40 minutes, and that would complete the 24-hour day. Now, okay, again, if we go back to our heliocentric model, the sun is traveling, what has to happen in order for this prophecy to be fulfilled? And all the planets staying with it. If it's this model, all happens is God says, okay, where the other model, if the earth has to stop spinning, not only did you break it, but then you go backwards, and they're all going to be flowed into the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean. They're goners. Everybody would have been dead, except for the Eskimos on the tippy top North Pole, because they're spinning right there in that circular part. Okay, so either way, a person wants to, how you think that God would do that. Okay, Psalm 136, the moon and the stars rule the night. Psalm 136, verse 9. Okay, so the moon does have its own light. Does it reflect the light of the sun? It could. But it does have its own illuminated light itself. We tend to think that the moon is a planet itself. But there have been occasions, I haven't seen it personally, I've seen a few videos, but then again, people can doctor videos, that when you have the moon that looks like, you know, a sliver, where there's been people testifying that they could see a star through the moon because it's an illuminated body. That would explain the crescent moon with the star in there. where you have some cultures that have that idea. Okay, so we really don't know, but we do know that the Bible says it is a light. Psalm 136, verse 9. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. So they are the night lights that we have that God has given to us. Okay, 2 Kings 23, verse 5. This is the only occurrence of the word planets in the Bible. 2 Kings 23, verse 5. Now, the planets, most of them are named after pagan deities. Okay, Mars, that's a deity that the Bible mentions. Venus. Okay, Mercury, Mercurius, that's named in the Bible. Mercury, Saturn, Jupiter. I think Jupiter's mentioned in the Bible. Okay, but these are all pagan entities. 2 Kings 23, verse 5 is the only occurrence of the word planets. Now, in our mind, what we've been taught, the planets are these certain planets that go around in the solar system. But as we read this verse, okay, this is where Josiah, one of the last great kings, he cleaned up the temple, kicked out all the pagan stuff going on. He says, and he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the city of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal. Okay, Baal, Beelzebub, that's another name for Allah. Okay, unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets. You would tend to think that should say sun, moon, stars. Unless God's definition for the planets would be the stars. So maybe what we think are planets are just other stars. Illuminated lights in the firmament. And then to all the host of heaven. Okay, so that's when Josiah cleaned out the Jewish temple, because all of that had infiltrated into the Jewish temple. And notice, if you drop down to verse 7, what kind of people were instigators of this? Sodomites. That's Sodom. It all goes back to that. So if we believe what the Bible is saying here, then the moon does have its own light. Now, in the millennial time period, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26. And, of course, we're looking forward to that, the millennium. And that's going to be such a blessing to see. So in the millennial time period, we're going to see the great creation of God, where he's going to restore things back to the pre-fall of Adam days. And amazing crops that they're going to produce. Isaiah 30, verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold. Okay, sevenfold. Is this saying heat or just the photosynthesis that's coming out of it? Okay, as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Okay, and this, he says in a millennial time period, that the sower shall overcome the reaper. So in our day, you plant in the spring, you reap a crop in the fall, okay, and the real lazy farmers don't pick it until March, and that's when the sower overcomes the reaper. But it looks like in a millennium, each of the seasons, spring, beginning of spring, plant a crop, harvest, end of spring. Summer, plant a crop, harvest, end of summer. Fall, winter. I mean, they're going to have, they're going to, the the plant vegetation and all those things is going to be phenomenal. Now, in Alaska, they have such a short growing season. But in the summertime, when they have almost 24 hours worth of sunlight, those plants grow extremely fast and extremely large. Okay, and that's because of the sunlight that's available to them. Okay, where here we have our typical growing season. So the moon does give out a light. It's a different form of light than sunlight. And I did a little research on that, of the different types of lights, as far as that it's a different type of a light. Okay, the stars of the skies, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12. Okay, this one just basically shows that Abraham's going to have children. Okay, but the word I'm looking at on this one is the word sky. So he says, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky. So the word sky and heaven, the firmament, are synonymous. Stars of the sky, that's implying it's not way beyond our ideas if it's inside the firmament. So he's right there, stars of the sky in multitude as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Okay, Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31 seems to explain the reason for tides. Tides going in and out. Jeremiah 30, I think most anybody will say that that is something to do with the moon. Jeremiah 31, 35. Okay, then it says, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. So that moon and that electromagnetic field is the driving energy or whatever, with, it looks like to me, to be with the tides. And God is the author of that. The Lord of hosts is his name. Okay, let me see. 135 Psalms. This seems to be the climate. How the Lord, if the Lord does have, if it is a dome, and on the outer edge is ice, and that dome has electromagnetic field like Tesla used to study, then what comes from that ice is Psalm 135 verse 6. It seems to be the vapors, and this is what's causing the prevailing winds and the changing of the seasons. Psalm 135 verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth and in seas and all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. So it's a continual cycle. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasures. The treasures of the snow, that's mentioned in Job 38. Now, when I used to live across the farm, there's an old brick house there. It used to be John Ross. Now it's Jim Tebow lives there. We lived in there for about a year. That house leaks like a sieve. I mean, as far as air. I mean, you just feel. It had no insulation in the walls, no insulation in the ceiling. I talked Tebow's to put some insulation in the ceiling. That's fine and dandy. But boy, when it got cold, it got cold. And it just blew through that house. Now, the only way I could keep it warm was when it got, say, down to 10, actually it was better when it dropped down to 10, is I would go outside with a garden hose, and I'd hose off the whole west wall, and I'd get an ice film on the house, like an igloo, and I'd do it on the north side. And boy, could I get it toasty in there. But I had to do that like every 2 or 3 days because it would still evaporate. The ice would evaporate plus the heat from the house. But that was the only way I could keep it. I thought, maybe those Eskimos got an idea. So I bet when people drove by and they saw me sprinkling the house, right, what a ding-a-ling. But that was the only way I could keep the house warm inside. It had baseboard heat. And man, that house just leaked terrible. And so with this passage about these vapors, I thought, wow, that's interesting. Maybe the Lord uses something like that. And I got a couple more verses I just want to look at. Jeremiah 10, verse 13. Maybe gives us an explanation. I'm not a real scientific guy. This one says, when he uttered his voice, there's a multitude of waters in the heavens. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain. He bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. That's almost identical to that other verse. It's Jeremiah 51, 16. I think is the same thing. Yeah, it's almost identical. When he uttered his voice, there's a multitude of waters in the heavens. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. So where's that? The ends of the earth is found over 20-some times in the Bible. Where's the earth end? Well, the breath. The breath or the whiff. He maketh lightnings with rain and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. So, okay, I've shot my wad on that. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us. If you want to give us understanding of these things, that would be great. But, of course, thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior. Thank God that this book is a final authority. And, Lord, we're just not going to make a big deal about it. But if you want to give us some understanding of it, fine. But it's obviously not going to change our relationship with thee, because that's the most important thing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.